Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. Taddy's River Journey by Shirley Rousseau Murphy. Pictures by Tommy DePaola. The beginning of this book shows a scene out in the country. There are some rolling hills that are green. There's a pale blue sky with some big white clouds in it. A red barn is on one side of the page with a large tree beside it. And then across the landscape are houses. Some of them are white, some are brown. There's one house that's a little bit bigger because it's closer to us in the picture that has a porch on the front of it with a red barn beside it. A young woman named Taddy lived alone by the river, and she was as beautiful as the star-flung night. She kept a garden and a cow and some chickens and an old cat for company. She was seldom lonely, except when the moon was full. Here we see a picture that's at night. The moon is full. The sky is very dark with a few stars that are white dots scattered across it. And the house that had the porch shows us the cat sitting on the banister and a woman standing on the porch next to the cat. Taddy loved all kinds of weather, sunny and foggy, and most of all, she loved rain. She liked to watch rain gush down the hills to her valley and flow into the river. But one day it rained too hard. The river flooded her garden and spoiled her vegetables, and that made Taddy cross. We see the picture here that the river has come up over her corn stalks even and the other things that she has growing in her garden. And Taddy's standing on the grass on a little hilly spot above the river, or where all the rain has collected, and she's wearing a yellow rain slicker and has a green umbrella and a broad-brimmed hat. This is an old-fashioned kind of way to dress in these pictures. She has on boots that ladies used to wear all the time. And in the buildings behind her, there's a cow looking out and a couple of chickens. It flooded her barn, and that made her crosser. She led the cow and the chickens into the house, where they could be dry and be safe. The cat dashed in, too, and snuggled beside the stove. And the stove is actually a big old iron kind of stove that you put wood in, and you can see the fire glowing inside. The cow is looking out the window with one of the chickens standing on her back, and then there are a couple other chickens on the floor. Taddy is wearing a purple dress with a white apron or pinafore over it, and she has a purple bow in her hair. Higher and higher the water came until it lapped at the wide front porch. The cow and the chickens stared at it in surprise, and the cat with curiosity. The rain came wilder, and the river rose higher. Wind shook Taddy's house, and the waves made it tremble and rock. The water rose higher and higher. Then it picked up Taddy's house and floated it away. It looks almost like an ocean now in this picture. Dark blue curvy lines that are the waves, and her house is floating on top of the waves. Away went Taddy's house, bobbing and dipping across the flooded land. Taddy, the cow, the chickens, and the cat rode on the porch like passengers on a steamship. They floated past treetops with birds' nests in them, past the church steeple, the school bell tower, and past people in rowboats who waved. Pieces of furniture drifted by, along with wonders that Taddy had never imagined. Here's a picture of the waves increasing. We can see the top of the bell tower, and there are people standing on top of it, waving. There are people on top of their barns. There's a lady in her bed with a quilt across her lap, and she's holding an umbrella as she floats down across the water. And Taddy and her animals are on her front porch waving at everybody too. The cow stared at the rushing waters and shook her horns, and the chickens wouldn't lay eggs for 3 days. The cat became so interested in what was floating by that he nearly fell overboard. Taddy dipped in her toes and laughed, for it was the best journey she'd ever had. She looked down through the water at roads and wagons and at the rooftops of the village. So Everything has been covered up by all this water, except her house is floating on top of it. The rain came harder, and the sky went dark, and a flock of ducks landed next to them. Taddy saw a dog swimming, frightened and cold. She got the broom and pulled him out. Then she dried him and gave him hot porridge. On the porch of Taddy's house now is the cat, some chickens, the cow, and now the dog, who's brown with big, long, droopy ears. And Taddy is standing still with her yellow rain slicker or raincoat on, patting the dog on the head. The ducks are floating along beside them. The rain came even harder. It battered the windows and rocked Taddy's house so the butter made itself in the churn. Taddy saw a bundle of rags tied to a board that was bobbing merrily on the waves. She got her broom and pulled it in, and wonder of wonders, she found a baby, wet and shouting with hunger. Taddy dried and warmed him. She fed him with milk from the cow and then made him a bed by the stove. Next to the stove is a wooden box, and she's made a little bed in it. In this picture, she's sitting on a red chair, holding the baby and patting him on the back. The cat is sitting at her feet. The rain poured down, and the house rocked madly, and the pots all swung on their hooks. Taddy saw a plank floating. She saw a hand clinging to it. She grabbed the broom and fished it in, and found a young man nearly drowned. She heaved him aboard, though he was heavier than she, and pushed the water out of him. She dried his clothes and fixed him a hot meal. He was the homeliest young man Taddy had ever seen, but his eyes were bright and kind. He held the baby, petted the cat, scratched the dog. Then he thanked the cow and the chickens for his supper and washed all the dishes up. Taddy is standing in the corner of the room next to the dog. The baby's asleep in its little bed by the stove in a box. The cow is standing in the doorway with some chickens on her head and one underneath her. The cat's on the table right next to a big basin that has soapy suds in it. And the man is washing the dishes. He has red hair and really huge ears and a big nose, but his eyes are very kind. The water rose so high that the treetops were dark shadows down under the waves. The wind grew stronger, and the waves came so big that Taddy feared for their lives. Then she saw some hills rising from the water like islands. She grabbed the broom and began to paddle, hoping to make land by nightfall, and the young man paddled too with a mop. On a hill they saw two fences running side by side. They paddled hard, thinking maybe they could tie the house up there. Taddy reached out with her broom, the young man reached out with his mop, and they pulled Taddy's house right between the two fences so it stood solidly wedged. It couldn't move anywhere. Now that they had the house safely anchored, everyone went to sleep. The moon is peeking out from behind a dark cloud in this picture. The house is in silhouette, meaning it's just very dark. We can't see all the details of the house, but we know that's what it is. And the two fences are on either side of the house. The waves are still going across the bottom of the picture. When Taddy woke in the morning, the rain had stopped. The sun shone bright and the water had receded. Her little house stood high in the sun, as solid as it could be. But Taddy's house did not stand on the hill as Taddy had expected it would. Taddy's house stuck fast, between the rails of a high, curving bridge. The river surged below, carrying tables and chairs and chicken coops, a wide, fast river running merrily. And the picture shows now, yes, she's not on a hill. She's on this big bridge that has a curve on top of it. And below her are ducks and chairs and houses and wagons floating down through the water. Taddy looked at the young man, and he looked back, and then they made some breakfast. Neither could think of any way to get Taddy's house off that bridge. After breakfast, they led the cow down to graze and the chickens to peck after worms. Teddy stood in the field staring up at her house, high on the bridge. She thought it looked snug as could be. Teddy smiled at the young man then, and he smiled back, and she knew she liked him a lot. Above them, on the high hilltops, they could see houses untouched by the flood. The yards were crowded with valley folk who had come to the hills for safety. They were bailing out boats, wringing out clothes and hanging them to dry, rounding up animals that had swum through the flood. A little road ran right up to the bridge and away on the other side. When a cart came along wanting to cross, Teddy opened her front door and showed it through her parlor, then she opened her back door and showed it out again. When the next cart came, Teddy did the same, but this time she invited the travelers to tea. They all sat in the parlor looking out at the water. It was a very fine view indeed. Teddy served seed cakes and hard-boiled eggs and marmalade sandwiches. She smiled at the young man, and he winked back at her. Now, there are four pictures on these pages. First shows the first cart coming up, and she's waving the cart in her front door. The second picture shows that same cart leaving out of her back door. The third picture shows a different cart coming up onto the bridge, and Teddy is standing in front of them with a teacup and a teapot, inviting them in for refreshments. And the last picture shows the people that were on the cart sitting in her living room or parlor, and the young man is standing beside her. Teddy and her young man were married in Teddy's parlor in her house on the bridge, and they lived in that house for all their days. This picture shows Teddy sitting on the porch. She has a bridal veil on, and she's holding a little child in her lap and a flower bouquet. The young man is standing behind her. He's wearing a suit and a white collar and tie. His ears are still sticking out of his red hair. Ducks are walking in front of them. The chickens and the cat are sitting on the railing. The dog and the cow are standing on the porch next to them. Many a cart came to pass through their front door and through their parlor and out through their back door again. While that was friendly, it was a bit crowded. So Teddy and her young man built more rooms upstairs under a new roof. So now they have a porch on the bottom floor and a porch on the second floor. And the young man is up on the roof with a hammer, and Teddy is handing a bucket to him with some supplies in it. Then, in the old parlor, to make their living, they served the travelers seed cakes and marmalade sandwiches. They mended their carts and patched their harnesses and shod their horses for them. It was a grand life indeed. Though sometimes Teddy or her young man or the cat or the dog or the baby would gaze down at the river and wonder if those waters would ever rise again, ever fill the world again so that they could have another ride. The cow and the chickens never wondered. They were content to peck and graze. The picture here shows the house now with the two stories and two porches and window boxes that have beautiful pink and green flowers and leaves in them. The cat is sitting on a railing that goes along the bridge. The dog is looking out under the railing down at the water. And the little baby that Teddy rescued from the water has now grown up a little bit and is a little boy sitting on the railing too. The baby grew up as handsome as Teddy and as kind as her young man. And wherever he traveled, the wide world over, he always loved rivers, was always happy near rivers, as he had been in Teddy's house on the bridge. In the last picture, we see the boy all grown up, leaning up against a tree next to a river. He's sitting on the grass with a book on his lap. The tree has long, flowing leaves. It might be a weeping willow that are hanging down near his face. And then on the other side of the river, there is a lawn, and there are lots of houses and a church with a very tall steeple. The end. Daisy Comes Home by Jan Brett. At the beginning of this book, we see a basket that's on a stony surface that looks like it might be part of a beach. In the basket is a red hen When I say red, she's actually kind of orange, with a little bit of black on her tail feathers. And behind her, we see the kinds of mountains that you are often able to see on the rivers in China. Look over the garden wall, and you will see the six happiest hens in China. They live in Meimei's sandy yard by the Li River, where they lay brown eggs every day for Meimei to sell at the market. But it was not always this way. On the next picture, there are more hens, and we still see the mountains in the background, but now we have a better view of the river. A couple of the hens are sitting on top of the roof of a building. Once upon a time, the smallest hen, the one Meimei calls Daisy, was picked on by all the others. This is hard to imagine because Meimei was known far and wide for her happy hens. She gave them treats. She put fresh hay in their nests. She gave them baths when they fell in black mud. And when she called, "Coo-coo-coo-coo-coo," all the hens would run to her fast as they could, as their legs could carry them. Even Meimei's egg baskets were painted with big red characters that read, "Happy Hens," and she tried to make it so. Meimei is sitting on top of a large basket that's been turned upside down, so it's like a little stool, and Meimei has on red pants with white flowers, little black shoes with straps that go across the top of her foot. Her hair is black. She has it pulled back in a kind of a ponytail, and she's wearing a sort of pink-colored blouse with a blue sweater over that. And in her lap is a basket with one of these hens. A couple of the other hens are all around her, too. But every night, when it was time to roost in the hen house, the other hens picked on Daisy. They fluffed up their feathers and crowded her off the perch. They jostled her until, peck, one or the other pushed her and thump, off she fell. Then the hens tucked their heads into their feathers and went to sleep, while poor little Daisy was stuck below on the damp mud floor, shivering and cold until morning. In one corner of this page, we see a little bubble, and it's showing Meimei sound asleep in her bed. The big part of the picture is five of these hens picking on the little hen, Daisy. One day, it rained all day, and the hens stayed inside. When it got dark, they flew up to their perch, except for Daisy. She had had enough pushy hens and cold, damp floors. She went outside to find a place to spend the night. Down on the riverbank, she spied one of the market baskets. She snuggled in and fluffed up her feathers to stay warm. Daisy was sleeping and didn't see the river creeping up the bank from all the rain. And when the water reached her happy hen's basket, she didn't feel it float out onto the river. But when the basket started tipping and bobbing, Daisy woke up. She peeked out and saw a watery world all around her. The sandy yard, the garden wall, and Meimei's farmhouse looked smaller and smaller as the current carried her down the river. Finally, the basket bumped against a stone jetty where a houseboat was tied up. Scratch, scratch, scraped the basket as the river waves pushed it up against the sharp rocks. This picture is very dark. We can see those mountains in the background and some big plants that almost look like palm trees, but a little bit different than that. And in the corner, there's a tiny bubble picture that shows Meimei waking up and yawning. The big picture with the mountains and the trees and the river shows the basket slowly creeping down the river with the very frightened hen in it. A dog was sitting up on the deck of the houseboat. When he saw the plump hen bobbing in the basket, he barked and scrambled toward her. Daisy squawked and pecked and beat the air with her wings. It was enough to tip the basket off the rocks, and she floated away just in time. Dawn broke over the Gui Mountains as the basket drifted along the river. Branches brushed against it, fish swam silently by, and birds flew overhead. Suddenly, Daisy felt a thump. Now, we can see in this picture the houseboat that was talked about, and the dog, who's white, furry creature, on the end of the boat, leaning over and barking at poor, scared Daisy. And Daisy is flapping her wings, and the basket tips over. And down in the corner of the picture, where it says she felt a thump, there is another animal. We're going to read about it on the next page. Daisy looked up and saw two big horns and a pair of surprised eyes looking down at her. The basket had drifted into the legs of a great big water buffalo taking a morning drink. The buffalo snorted loudly, scaring Daisy. She flew forward and nipped his furry muzzle and flapped her wings. Daisy scared the water buffalo. He turned and galloped up the bank, scattering the ducks as he ran. His splashes made waves that carried the basket back into the middle of the river. Now we see the water buffalo dashing out of the water, great big splashes of water all around him, and the ducks running ahead of him. And Daisy, in this picture, is still in her basket, and she looks frightened and angry at the same time. Daisy traveled along all day until her basket was hooked by the roots of a banyan tree, where a troop of red-tailed monkeys lived. The curious monkeys eyed Daisy and climbed down for a closer look. Daisy froze as one monkey crept up to the basket and reached in. Daisy flapped and pecked, nipped and squawked. The startled monkeys pushed the basket away. It broke loose from the tree and floated on down the river. Daisy wondered what would happen next. Now, this picture shows these monkeys, and they are all about the same color as Daisy. They're sort of a reddish-orange color. A couple of them have long white beards, like monkeys sometimes can get. And one of them has pushed the basket off the roots that had grown into the river. Daisy's wings are up. You can tell she's agitated. And in the corner of this picture, up in the little bubble, we see Mémé, and she's counting her hens, and she's figuring out that one of them is not there. In the lower part of the picture, we see another bubble, and here is a man with boots on and a blue jacket and a little cap on his head, and he's in a kind of rafter boat with a long pole that he's guiding himself along the river. Up ahead, Daisy saw a fisherman with cormorants flying all around his bamboo boat. They were catching fish and taking them to him for a reward. The fisherman felt a soft bump behind him. Thinking it was a cormorant, he reached back and grabbed. How surprised he was to see that it was holding a hen instead of a cormorant. Cormorants are another kind of bird that are sort of duck-like. They can fly and swim and dive into the water. They're dark-colored gray in their feathers. All along this river, we can see other fishermen and fisherwomen, and they are catching fish with the help of the cormorants. Up in the little bubble picture, we see Mémé. Now she's looking through the baskets, trying to find the hen that's missing. "Finders keepers," the fisherman exclaimed. "Little fish, big fish, silver fish, white fish, that's what I sell at the market. But today I will have this tender young chicken." He put a net over the basket and headed to shore with poor Daisy inside. At home, Mémé had looked all day and all night for her little Daisy. She wasn't in the hen house. She wasn't behind the farmhouse. She couldn't fly over the wall. "Where is she?" Mémé wondered, worried all the time about what had happened to Daisy. Finally, she knew that she had to go to the market. With a sad feeling, she packed her eggs in their baskets and started on her way. As the baskets swung back and forth, the red characters on the sides of her baskets made Mémé feel sadder and sadder. "Happy hens," she said aloud to herself. "What about my Daisy? Where can she be?" Now, Mémé carries these baskets of eggs by putting a pole across her shoulders, and then there are ropes that hang down at the end of the poles, and each of the ropes has a large basket full of eggs, and that's how she is carrying the eggs to market. At the market, Mémé found a place and arranged the eggs in clean, sweet-smelling straw. All morning shoppers bought her fresh brown eggs, but she couldn't stop thinking about her little lost hen. Mémé heard a voice calling to her. It was her friend Zhang, yelling from the back of a bike cart. "A fisherman has a happy hen's basket," he shouted. "What?" she called, not understanding what he was saying. "A happy hen's basket," he repeated. "You'd better hurry because he's showing off what's inside." "Daisy!" Mémé shouted. Now the picture shows all the people in the market. There are other people with poles across their shoulders and baskets on the end. One man is carrying cabbages in his baskets. There are a lot of little children dressed in a very similar way to Mémé, but different colored clothes. There are people sitting in chairs with umbrellas over them to keep the sun off of their heads. And then we see the fisherman with the basket and a net over it and Daisy inside. Mémé raced to where the fish were sold. There was Daisy, beautiful and plump in her basket, surrounded by a crowd, all wanting to buy her. "That's my hen," she cried to the fisherman, but his face was like stone. She pointed to the red characters on the basket. "Happy hens," she said. The fisherman crossed his arms. "Finders keepers," he growled, and turned away to sell Daisy. Mémé was about to leave, but her eyes rested on those characters, happy hens. All she could think about was Daisy in a cooking pot. She squeezed her eyes shut and clenched her fists. She had to do something. And now we see her running through the market, through all the different kinds of vegetables and beans and fruit that are being sold, and people sitting around watching her as she runs down towards the fisherman who has her hen. "Go, go, 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 go," she called at the top of her voice. And when Daisy heard that call, she answered it the way she had every day of her life. She rose up and threw herself against the basket, tipping it over. She ran toward her friend Mémé as fast as her legs could go. Daisy flew onto Mémé's shoulder, and off they went, running back to get Mémé's baskets and go home. And the big picture shows Mémé kind of crouching down lower so that the hen can jump up on her shoulder. And the little bottom picture in a bubble shows Mémé running as fast as she can, knocking over baskets as she runs through the market. The fisherman ran after them, furious. "Stop," he yelled at Mémé. "That's my hen." "Finders keepers," Mémé called over her shoulder. And with Daisy clinging to her, she ran and didn't stop until they were safely home. Now they've left the market, Mémé has, with Daisy up on her shoulder. Mémé still has her that stick over her shoulder. It's probably made of bamboo with the baskets, but they're empty now. And they're running towards Mémé's little farm. That night, as the sun went down, Daisy took a place on the roost. When one of the big hens fluffed up her wings and spread out, expecting Daisy to fall off the perch like always, Daisy flapped her wings. "I learned from my boat dog," she clucked. Another hen tried to tip her off. She pushed right back. "I scared a water buffalo like that," she squawked. Another hen jostled her. "Peck, peck, peck, peck." Daisy kept her place on the perch and beat the air with her wings. She remembered the monkey, and she pecked and flapped all over again. That was when the hens gave Daisy a place of her own. We can see Mémé standing on top of a large pot that has been turned over, and she's peeking into the chicken coop, watching all the hens trying to sort out their places on the perch. The lap, lap, lap of the river made a peaceful nighttime song. No bumping, no jostling, no fussing around. Just six happy hens, their heads tucked in their feathers, high and warm and safe together. The very last picture is a very serene and happy picture. We see the hens on their perch. All of them have a place on it. Nobody's getting knocked off. And in the background, we see one of those funny-looking mountains. and the sky has stars that are beginning to twinkle. And there is the little symbol, happy hens. The end. Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.